and welcome back to another episode of the Lion's Edge podcast, midweek episode. It's Wednesday morning. I'm sitting down to record this. We've got about 27 hours before the first game tips off, which is, of course, my Mountaineers playing against Maryland around 12:15 Thursday afternoon, East Coast time. Lion's Edge, as always, brought to you by BetMGM, the good folks who are paying my salary and paying my health insurance. Please support them, support the show. Head over to the sportsbook, head over to the blog, check everything out. Lots of cool markets to bet, of which we will be talking about today. I have been staring at odds for about 48 straight hours. I got up, didn't sleep well Monday into Tuesday. I woke up with my fiance, who works at a hospital and has to go into work pretty early. So this is like 5:15, 5:30 in the morning. Knew I wasn't going back to sleep. Went into the office. I shit you not, I think I stared at odds for 16 straight hours. I did not leave my office until after I did a hit on BetMGM tonight, which was at 8:20 p.m. I haven't watched that hit back. I feel like I wasn't very good. I feel like my brain was mush at that point, and I was just talking in like generalities and vague like SportsCenter hit bulletin points. I don't know. Maybe I was fine. You guys can, because I know a lot of people that listen to the podcast also watch BetMGM tonight, especially when I'm on. So I appreciate that support, and I appreciate supporting our partners at Odyssey as well. But you guys will let me know, I guess, if you feel like that was a garbage hit. I felt like my brain was a little mushy. I got a good night's sleep. I'm up early Wednesday recording this. Very simple thing that I want to do today. I want to give you every bet I have placed so far for the upcoming NCAA tournament. Most of this is going to be first round stuff. It's going to play off of a lot of the things we talked about on Monday, but there'll be some new stuff too, some things I've added. I'll talk through a few futures positions I've established, and there will probably be more bets that I add as well after this podcast episode goes out. So for that, make sure you stay locked into the Twitter feed, both my own, at Chase A. Kitty, and at The Lion's Edge, the one for the podcast, Instagram, the content on the blog that I'm constantly writing, constantly updating, Action Network, at C. Kitty. There's all kinds of ways to find the different updates for the stuff that I do, so just check out the links in the show notes for the podcast, and you can find most, if not all, of those. But like I said, I just want to walk through bets today. I want to give you straightforward, actionable looks at the positions I have established, or in maybe a couple cases am thinking about establishing. Here we go. Tuesday. So stuff we already did. Just to recap, I gave out the first four bets on Monday. If you're new to the show, if you maybe didn't listen all the way to the end of that one, or you forgot, Tuesday night we were on Corpus Christi minus the points. If you got it 3.5, you covered. If you got the 4, you pushed. So if you were late to the bull, you actually were at an advantage there because of the line movement. 3.5 covered. We were also leaning toward Pitt outright. That was plus 105, I believe, when we did the podcast on Monday. That went to plus 120 by tip-off Tuesday night, late. That one got over the line as well. So great start to the NCAA tournament. Another little plug here for the blog content. You got a bonus pick if you're paying attention to the blog content. I do the updated college basketball bets every single day. And Tuesday, I added to the card Eastern Washington in the NIT. Plus 10.5 is where I gave it out. That was an outright winner. Closed at plus 340 in the moneyline market. So if you took the Eagles to win outright on the hard court, not the red turf, but the hard court, then a big winner for you. And then plus the points, obviously, was a winner as well. So really nice Tuesday effort all around. Tonight, I really don't have much of a feel at all for that Fairleigh Dickinson Texas Southern game. I gave out the under just as a, hey, look, we're betting all four games, so if I have to bet it, here's what I'm doing. I'm basically tailing, you know, the steam that initially pushed it down from 147.5 to 145.5. But look, full transparency on this podcast, like, that's not a game I feel very good about in any direction. So I would probably just lay out there, slightest of leans to the under. really just tailing market action there. And then the other game, Nevada against Arizona State. I like Arizona State. I will lay the short number with them, and we'll see if we can slide through these first four games without much friction. Thursday, West Virginia minus 1.5 is where I bet this game. I got a little more down at West Virginia minus 2.5. Again, if you're new to the podcast, I'm a West Virginia fan. So there is some personal involvement in this game, but I never bet with my heart. I only bet on West Virginia when I feel pretty good about their spots. I'm pretty unbiased about this stuff when it comes to having actual skin in the game. And I think that makes me actually one of the best bettors probably in the world when it comes to betting on West Virginia games. I will bet against them in certain spots, especially when they play Kansas these last few years. Kansas money line against West Virginia is about as automatic as money as you'll be able to find. Oklahoma football money line against West Virginia, the last decade, pretty much automatic. So I really do feel good about West Virginia in this spot. The only thing that bothers me is how much pressure Maryland is going to be able to throw at West Virginia, especially in the full court scenarios or in the half court traps. But I do feel like West Virginia will be able to navigate that. I think Huggins will work on some press break stuff this week. And I think West Virginia is going to be much better in the front court, in crashing the glass, in the rebounding department. So comfortably, I am betting West Virginia and advancing them in my bracket. I do feel like they are the right side in this game. I bet Furman plus 6 against UVA right out of the gate. We've got closing line value if you did the same thing, because that number is shorter today than it was at market open. That said, I'm advancing UVA in my bracket, and I don't think I would get involved in this game at this point now that the number is a little bit shorter. In fact, if anything, I see there potentially being some late buyback value on Virginia. These SoCon teams don't shoot the way they think you do, at least not all of them do, and Furman is not a team that shoots the three ball particularly well. That's how teams have often beaten Virginia in the NCAA tournament. It's about the shooting, and teams that can outpace UVA's more methodical and unreliable offense these last few years in seasons where they didn't win the national championship. So I like Furman plus the 6, at least I did at the beginning of the week. Now, I think it's more of a pass for me, but that is a position that I have. Arkansas minus 2.5, one of my favorite bets of Thursday. Just, it's a matchup of teams that we have pretty solid recent history of in the NCAA tournament, that one team has a successful tournament formula and one team does not. So I will lay a short number with Arkansas there and go against Illinois. That's down in the Midwestern portion of the bracket. Boise State, Northwestern, under 128.5 was a kind semi-late add for me, at least late in between Monday's podcast and this one right now. I like the under in this spot. I think the number tells you the under is the right side. Obviously, tournament unders is a very successful, well-worn strategy. But even inside of that, there are different numbers that you can find where the under is more successful. And as regular podcast listeners know, I like to go after these low total unders because I feel like the market is actually tipping which side is right simply by hanging a low number. Because we all understand, if you hang a total, people are just inclined to bet the over. And that's doubly so when the number is low. So if you're hanging a number where people love to bet the over, and you know you're going to take, you know, one-sided action on the over, it seems to me that the under is the right side more often than not, and the receipts have certainly borne that out over the years, as regular listeners and regular readers know. I'm going to lay the big juice with Houston playing against Northern Kentucky, Houston minus 20.5. Houston just decimates these bad teams, and I think this is a mismatch in every sense of the word. I think athletically they're going to dominate them. I think defensively they will completely smother what Northern Kentucky is doing. I saw some people early on, I don't know if they were trying to be like galaxy brain about it, but just Northern Kentucky, 20.5, that's too many points. That is not too many points. And go look at what Houston's history is as a high seed these last few years in the tournament. They smash people. Go look at what Houston did early in the non-conference against inferior teams. In most cases, they obliterated them. In November and December, they were being hung as like a 20-point favorite, 22-point favorite, 24-point favorite, and it just wasn't enough points. The book had to start jacking those spreads up in the late non-conference to 28, 30, 32, 34, 36, because there just wasn't an amount of points high enough. So I do not see this number as all that threatening. I think Houston is going to roll here. I think this is going to be like a 90-48 kind of game, just totally out of hand. Louisiana plus 10.5, also on Louisiana plus 450 in the moneyline market. I actually think I've seen some 11.5s now at BetMGM. I don't get this number. This every year it feels like in the tournament, because there's so much media now talking about the tournament, scrutinizing every matchup, and every year it feels like one of these games, it's like a 4-13 game usually, kind of falls through the cracks and everybody focuses on the trendy upsets. This year the trendy upsets feel like Drake over Miami. A lot of people like me, including me, are on Kent State over Indiana. Maybe College of Charleston beating San Diego State. We talked about Furman, Virginia. So there's all these kind of trendy upsets. I don't see anybody talking about Louisiana, Tennessee. And I feel like Tennessee is really vulnerable here. We know what Rick Barnes' history in the NCAA tournament is. It's not very good. Louisiana won a Sun Belt that had some real competition at the top of it. I think this is a good team. I'm surprised not only that there isn't more talk just about, hey, I would advance Louisiana in the bracket. I'm surprised this number is double digits. It's so high. This is like, you know, Grand Canyon's getting double digits against Gonzaga as a 14 seed. You know, UNC Asheville getting double digits against UCLA as a 15 seed. Louisiana's good. So I'm kind of shocked this number is where it is. I think it's way too much. I think Louisiana's live to win the game. So I will happily take double digit points here with the Raging Cajuns. And like I said, I'm on the money line as well. Texas A&M minus the 3. I don't need to belabor this point. I've made it a million times by now. Texas A&M is super undervalued. They're one of the best teams against the spread all year because people just continue not to figure out that A&M is actually good. 23-11, I believe, against the spread this year. Just criminally undervalued. And now we're doing the same thing with Penn State all over again. Seven seeds actually have one of the best ATS records in the NCAA tournament the last 10 or 15 years because it seems like an easy upset to predict. It's barely an upset, a 10 over a 7. Like, that happens all the time. And so seven seeds kind of fall into this weird, undervalued high seed spot. I think a little bit of that is happening, grafted on top of the stuff that was already happening with Texas A&M. I think I get the argument for Penn State, the basketball argument, which is SEC schools don't shoot the three ball very well. So Texas A&M won, finished in second in a conference that doesn't shoot the three ball very well. They don't have a super tested three-point defense, and Penn State's going to jack up a lot of threes. I understand that argument. I just think Texas A&M is the better team here. They have been consistently undervalued all year, and so I'm going to continue to rely on that undervalued quality. Very short number here, A&M minus the 3. Another late ad here. We're going to the Friday games for me. Another late total ad. Baylor, UC Santa Barbara, over 143.5. Everybody talks about Baylor's good offense and bad defense. Everybody talks about how UC Santa Barbara is maybe a sleeper, big-time upset pick here as a 14 over a 3. But nobody seems to have put the pieces together and realized that means this is a Baylor UCSB over bet. I think 143.5 is actually kind of a surprisingly low number given how good Baylor's offense is and how bad its defense is. Now, maybe that's insulation against the increased market appetite for betting unders in the NCAA tournament. But to me, this is the most obvious over bet of the first round, probably. So I like Baylor UCSB over 143.5. VCU plus 4 is something I bet early. I'm not sure if that number is still available. It might be down to 3 or 3.5. I like VCU's pressure against St. Mary's backcourt. I don't think St. Mary's has played the last month of the season very well, and I think they could be one and done here. So I will take VCU, even though their ability to create havoc in March Madness at this point in the bracket is way, way overstated. 2011 was 12 years ago, guys. Grand Canyon plus 15.5. Name checked them a minute ago. I think this is a lot of points, and I understand why. Gonzaga is kind of a trendy pick right now. They're playing really well coming into March Madness. Grand Canyon can play, and they can shoot. And they are going to stay in this game, I think. So 15.5 points seems like an awful lot. I think this is a game that's going to be close for about 34 minutes. Maybe Gonzaga takes control late, pushes it out to an 11, 12, 13-point game when all the free throw bullshit is said and done. But this is a Grand Canyon squad for me that I think is going to be inside of this number. 15.5 is huge. Kent State I've talked about a lot. I will talk about them more in a second when I talk about future positions I have. But Kent State plus the 4.5 against Indiana is absolutely a play, as well as the money line position for the outright upset. Same thing for Drake plus the 2.5 against Miami and Drake outright. I want all of these positions. I think we're going to get a 12-13 round of 32 matchup in the Midwest. I think both Indiana and Miami are going out. That's what I'm doing in my bracket. That's what I'm doing in my bets. Those are all the straight bets I have so far for Thursday and Friday. Let's talk for just 1 minute about futures positions. Kent State to the Sweet 16, 7-1. Yes. I think Kent State is better than Drake. I think Kent State might be even is better than Miami. I think they're going to beat Indiana. I think they are the best team in this Albany pod. And as an added bonus, they are the closest team to Albany. So I am expecting a pretty friendly Kent State crowd here. And the fans that stick around, I think, will don some yellow and be a Kent State fan themselves, because everybody likes a good Cinderella story. I think that's what we're going to get here. I was doing a media hit with my friend Bennett Conlin. I was giving him some notes to use for a piece he's writing. And one of the things that I said, which I think ties in here because I talked a little bit about Kent State with him, was that I don't know that we're going to see any super dramatic Cinderella runs this year. I would not take a 15 seed to the Elite Eight. I don't think anything like that's going to happen this year. I think what we're going to see, because of the top-end depth in college basketball this year, we really have, a 14 or 16 deep kind of row of contenders in a way that's really unusual. So I'm not sure we're going to see 14 seeds making Elite Eight runs or whatever. I do think we could see some sevens over some twos, a lot of fours over ones. Like, I think all four of these number one seeds are vulnerable in their own way, which is a little unusual. So I think we could see a lot of second week drama. I don't know how much total first week chaos we're going to see. That's a sort of a vibe that I get. So Kent State is maybe a little discordant with that overall vibe that I have. It's more about the path that they have than some vibe that I have that we're in for a totally chaotic year. Because I think the first couple rounds maybe could be a little chalkier and more underwhelming than people expect. And then we'll have a really dramatic second week. I'm looking at a lot of dogs when we get to next week. But we'll worry about next week. Houston, Final Four, plus 140. Yes, please. I do not see a ton of pushback in this region. I know a lot of people are going to name check Texas. But as I talked about on Monday, some of the numbers with Texas and Texas A&M in the Sweet 16 markets are a little interesting. It makes me think that Texas is being overvalued, that Texas is the hot team that won its conference tournament that we overhype every year, and then they underdeliver in March. They make a Sweet 16 run and they then get upset, something like that. So I'm a little cautious about overhyping Texas and overplaying their threat to Houston in this Midwestern region. And if you take Texas off the board, this becomes a really easy path to the Final Four for Houston. I already liked Houston probably as my title favorite anyway, so I'm kind of pulling up and making a conservative play here rather than buying the full championship ticket for Houston at plus 550. I'm making a more conservative play at plus 140. Now, there's also a case to make that if I'm doing this with the Final Four, I might as well buy a second ticket for Houston at plus 550 and own both positions, because if you're picking any team to get to the Final Four and you feel really good about it, like I do with Houston, they only have to win two more games to win the national championship. You might as well buy the bigger ticket with the more lucrative odds. I may still well do that. But for now, I'm holding pat with the more conservative approach, Houston plus 140 in the Final Four. I've also got UCLA in the Final Four at plus 300, probably my favorite futures bet of the crop, of anything that's available on the board at BetMGM, when you consider the path, the payout, what it says about this region that UCLA is the favorite to go to the Final Four over the number one seed Kansas. Just all of that together, probably my favorite futures play on the board right now. And then I also have Marquette at plus 450, which I also mentioned on Monday. Marquette plus 450 to go to the Final Four. This East region that has Purdue as the number one seed, I see that as vulnerable as well. And so I like the two seed there. I like the path. I think Marquette has quietly been one of the five or six best teams in college basketball the last month or month and a half of the season. So I feel like I'm getting a really good team with a really good path to win four games in March. 450 is a great number for that. And you know what here? I added it this morning. I said, what the hell, we're going to do this. West Virginia goes to the Sweet 16 at plus 400. I know what I said at the beginning about being a reasonable person. Here's the thing. I don't think West Virginia is going to beat Alabama. I think Alabama is a likely Final Four team. Alabama is the number one seed in this tournament. A lot of people say they have an easy path. If they're the number one overall seed and they have an easy path, why are they plus 90 to go to the Final Four? Why is Houston plus 140? If West Virginia is going to get rocked by Alabama, which again, could absolutely happen. They give up so many three-pointers in some of these games. Feels like every time West Virginia plays Kansas, Kansas hits 27 three-pointers. So Alabama could run them out of the building, like we saw with Kentucky, the Kentucky team of death in 2015. That Sweet 16 game against West Virginia was just disheartening. It was like 80-39. It was like watching torture. It was awful, okay? That could happen here very easily in the round of 32. But why is the number plus 400? Why isn't the number plus 800? I'll give you a point of context here. Auburn is plus 700 to go to the Sweet 16. They're playing Houston in the round of 32 in Birmingham. Very friendly Auburn crowd. It's basically a home game for them as far as NCAA tournament standards go. They're plus 700 against a one seed in the round of 32. West Virginia's plus 400 against the number one overall seed. That doesn't seem weird to anybody. Maybe this is a market thing. Maybe there's an appetite to bet a Hall of Fame coach like Huggins now that Boeheim's retired. So he is the number one wins leader in college basketball. I just think this number's a little funky. When you look at the other 8-9 prices to go to the Sweet 16, almost all of them are longer than this. In a lot of cases, they're much longer, like Auburn at that 7-1 price. Florida Atlantic to beat Purdue, it's like, I don't know, 550, I think. Memphis is a shorter price, but that's because Memphis just won the American tournament and Purdue is seen as vulnerable. Illinois to upset Kansas. Nobody likes Kansas right now. Illinois is a longer price to upset Kansas than West Virginia is to beat Alabama and go to Sweet 16. It's just weird to me. So this isn't necessarily a West Virginia fan bet, even though I probably wouldn't have picked up on it if I wasn't a West Virginia fan. I wouldn't have been looking for something like this. This is my betting instinct, seeing a number and going, that's weird. So I am advancing Alabama in my bracket. I'm pretty confident West Virginia's done on Saturday. But something about this number is a little weird, and so I'm going to buy a small position on West Virginia to Sweet 16. We'll close there with a little bit of a therapy session on fandom there. Hopefully that wasn't too much West Virginia content. I really do try to push that down and not turn this into my personal Morgantown soapbox. Look, I hope you got some actionable information out of this. A lot of new podcast listeners this week as people are looking for good NCAA tournament content and actionable betting information. So I hope you've enjoyed the podcast, today's episode and Monday's episode. I hope you stick around and check out some other stuff that we've got coming down the pike. We'll have great Sweet 16 content next week. We'll have great national championship analysis. I'm aiming for a guest at some point before the tournament is over that I think you're really going to like. We're just trying to make the schedules work. Around the corner, we've got baseball coming. We've got tennis, as always, kicking off. Nobody handicaps tennis better than me. I'm telling you, if you're new to the podcast, stick around. You'll find out. Nobody will give you women's tennis winners like I can. And look, cash is cash, right? It doesn't matter what sport it comes from. So lots of good betting content coming both in the immediate future for March Madness and throughout the year. We'll break down the NFL offseason. I've got tons of good offseason guests already lined up for NFL and college football. So lots of good content around the corner. Hope you'll stay subscribed. Make the Lion's Edge, make BetMGM part of your podcast content diet. And look, if you've liked the content you've gotten this week, if you got some actionable information out of this, do me a favor, take 3 minutes of your time, leave the podcast review. If you're a Spotify listener, a 5-star rating, or if you're an iTunes listener, or you know whoever else, whatever podcast platform you prefer, leave us a review, leave us a rating. Really helps us grow the show, grow people's understanding of the betting markets, which is all I'm about here, is education and helping people learn how to take a little bit of money off the sports book, learn how to beat the sports book, consistent long-term winning, that kind of stuff. Really helps me grow the show. I personally would appreciate it. Look, lots of bets on deck for the next 48 hours. I'll try to check in Friday night with another episode. It just depends on how late those games go, but I'll do like a quick round of 32 breakdown if I can. Some interesting things are going to happen Saturday. I don't know how that's going to go. I don't know if I'm going to be able to record anything, but I will definitely tell you about what happens after it happens. Until then, really excited for March Madness, really excited for the round of 64 right around the corner. Lots of good bets, lots of good positions. Good luck with all of yours. We'll see you back here next time for the Lion's Edge. And until then, take it easy.